Hey guys, welcome back to the Goobie Podcast. This is episode number 26, 27. I don't know. We're up there. We're mid 20s, upper 20s. You kind of forget, you know, when you're 30 and all that. So we don't care. I'm turning 30 in December. Fuck. We have Jason Coley on today. Jason Coley is a competitive bodybuilding coach. He's an upper level amateur bodybuilder and a good friend of mine. I've been his posing coach. We share stories. Sometimes we call each other in the middle of the night to cry. That's not true. Jason, say hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
So, Jason Coley, you coach a ton of people. You have about as many athletes as I have. And
maybe not as many, but we're getting up there. I strive to be you, John.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. So, Jason Coley has his brand Coley Conditioning. And he puts a lot of really shredded motherfuckers on stage, has a lot of lifestyle type of clients. Jason, what got you into it? Why did you do this?
Oh, man. Well, I started lifting weights at a very young age because my dad owned gyms all his life, which eventually led to me getting into bodybuilding. And originally what started me coaching was through the forums. So back in the day before Facebook and Instagram became the main place for people to talk about bodybuilding and everything and like to talk to the pros and stuff, there were little bodybuilding forums. And
you can say it. Really, he's talking about MISC, guys. He's talking about
the MISC. It is the MISC. Yeah. And the MISC was huge. And is the MISC even around now? Is it still around?
I don't know. I was on there too. So like before Instagram made bodybuilding really glorious and cool, like you were just a fucking nerd on MISC. Or yeah. 4chan had one called Fit. You're a fucking bigot.
The 4chan-Fit. I do remember that one.
Basically the same people were the like World of Warcraft RuneScape level dudes.
Degenerates. That would go on to jack.
The weights. Yeah. And it just turned all of us real big and stupid, but all in the same line of thought. So MISC, wow.
I was definitely a part of, you know what's funny, before the MISC I was in the teen MISC, because I remember I was 16, I did my first show at 16, and I posted my show pictures. I could probably still find that thread too, and I posted my show pictures because I was so happy. I was like, I got third place out of six people, and I was like, I did my first show, I worked so hard, and they just shredded me apart on the teen bodybuilding section. Why did you compete? You're too small, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the fuck?
That was the best
part. I thought I looked good for 16.
Everybody was an asshole, and they just sort of like, yeah. I don't know, if you stuck around long enough, you were like forced to get good. Because you if you wanted to appease anybody, it's like you just had to not suck so hard. Yeah.
I almost just got big just so people would take me seriously on the internet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, the teen section, yeah, that's where I started. And then when I went to the big boy MISC after that.
Now, I said I didn't know you were on MISC, but I should have known because you play fucking RuneScape.
Yeah.
to this day.
Old school RuneScape. Dude, I love RuneScape, man. It's a nice little grinding game that I can just get on. Like, I can kind of play and then work at the same time. And it just, I don't know, video games in general, any type of, like, fantasy, like, RPG game just gets my mind out of the world.
Yeah, I love RuneScape. Although, the only thing that if anybody's ever played RuneScape, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They would have, for cooked lobster, there's like a lobster in the game that healed you like 12 points, which is, I don't know.
Yes, 12 HP.
Somebody's going to fuck it. Is it 12?
12 HP, yeah.
I don't know why I still remember that. But it was like the most healing at the time. I don't, there's probably one that's like 38 or whatever now. But you would cook it and it would turn brown. And when it was raw, it was red, which is, as far as I know, the opposite of what it's supposed to be in reality. And people pointed that out to the developers, and they were like, yeah, we don't care. It's too late.
Oh, that game is a lot of people's childhood.
Yeah. I was 12 years old, I think, when I started playing RuneScape, which is probably right when it came out, or like shortly after it came out. That was a fucking game. There's so many bodybuilders I know that played the shit out of either World of Warcraft or RuneScape.
World of Warcraft is a big one. I never got into it, but I hear a lot of good things.
Goddamn nerds, man.
Yeah. But yeah, fuck, that's crazy. Back in that day, it was all forums, and I eventually kind of built up like a small name for myself, and I got my first client, Pawan.
I know Pawan.
When I was like 18, because I started advertising training, because I was like, okay, like that's a way to make money, and I wanted to make money when I was younger. I didn't want to go to school. I thought school was fucking stupid. So as soon as I graduated high school, I wanted to just start making as much money as possible. So I started training people as much as I could. I only had like a couple clients, but you know, anything helps.
Yeah.
And
by the way, to save Mr. Coley here from the degenerate stigma, this man has a fucking Lotus. He's got a BMW. He's got a cool. It's not always necessary. Him saying that, somebody may roll their eyes and be like, yeah, fucking idiot. I bet he lives in his parents' basement. Man's got a Lotus, okay? I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
I sold it a couple months ago, but I had it for like almost 2 years.
He has.
I had it.
Yeah, they're all like, oh, fuck, he had it.
Oh, he had it, yeah.
You would have went to college.
No, man, not going to college for a year and then dropping out was probably the best decision I ever made. Honestly.
I hate talking about it, but I went to law school and it was the worst 3 years of my whole life.
Dude, I fucking bet. That's crazy. I can't imagine school at that high of level.
It's not, dude. I remember like, cause I was a total shitbag in college. Like it took me 5 years to do undergrad. And then I somehow got into law school with like garbage tier grades, like garbage tier LSAT. I remember I took the LSAT after an overnight shift at my job at the hospital. Like I worked 7 to 7 and then the LSAT started at 8:30. So I was like, no sleep, just fucking did the study for it. Just went and did it. But I really wanted to be like, all right, well, they won't let me in anyway. Somehow I get admitted to like 3 schools that I applied to. I was like, what the fuck? And then I remember being like, all right. I was having a conversation with my brother about this today. I was like, all right, like I fucked around all in school. I really need to get it together now for law school. And then it's just, I never had that motivation to do it. Like I remember showing up being like, I just wear sweatpants. I'm not a real person. I have to buy a suit. What the fuck?
Oh, shit.
They had pictures. It was like maybe the first couple months they had like a picture day and they're like, I missed the memo somehow, but they're like, make sure you wear like a suit and like a collared shirt and a tie. 3 things I didn't own. I didn't have any fucking money. What do you mean? Like I bought food and like barely paid my rent. My car was always almost in repossession. The fuck was I supposed to do? And so I show up like in sweatpants and like a t-shirt I bought at Pride Target on clearance. And they're like, hey, you have to like go get a suit and like come back. And I was like, I can't make that possible. I don't have one. And they had this stupid, like, imagine like a cutout of a shirt that was like suspended on a board that you put in front of yourself to look like you were wearing a t-shirt, look like you were wearing a suit. And they gave me that, but my neck was like almost wider than the fucking thing. So it looked really, really stupid and fake.
Wow.
I wish I could find the photo. Cause it was like the class, whatever, like, you know, it was 2015, the class photo thing.
They put that in front of you with a picture. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was that moment indeed that I realized I was not made for law school.
But you still graduated.
Yeah, I did. It was a real, 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 real big waste of time for everybody involved. Waste of time. Everybody lost their time. Nobody had fun.
It's hilarious. I was just talking to Chandler about this yesterday. Because she was telling me about some dietitian on Instagram that was saying that dietitians don't get the recognition they deserve. And she's like, why the fuck would you go to school for that? Like, you're going to school. Okay. You're going to go to school. You're going to waste. So you graduate high school. You're going to waste 4 or 5 years going to school. To be a dietitian, you have to do a 1 year of an unpaid internship for 40 hours a week. So there goes, 5 or 6 years of money making right there. You're going to school full time, so you're not going to make shit for money. And then on top of that, when you graduate, you're going to be like 60 to 80 grand in debt. And it just, I'm like, where in the hell do people go, wow, that sounds like a great idea. Like,
the worst part about it, though, that nobody tells you is if you're a dietitian, your likely career is going to be trying to get morbidly obese people to control their fucking sugar intake on a bariatric floor in a fucking general hospital. You're going to hate your life because you're like, I want to help people dial their shit in. And, you know, maybe you're like into bodybuilding, but like, no. Congratulations. It is literally blood sugar express. That's all you're going to be fucking doing. I'm sure somebody's going to argue with me about this, but like, come on, man. That's the
job. And like doing like patients with like Crohn's and diabetes and shit. Like, oh, that sounds fucking
it's like boring. Yeah, Crohn's, you can't, you know, Crohn's is elimination diet. And I'm sure there's like some involved expertise, but it's like, Brenda.
It's not fun.
Snickers. What are you doing, Brenda? Twix,
yeah. It's so funny, man. Like, I just, I could never do it. That just sounds depressing. Going into a hospital when like I need something is depressing. I can't imagine working there.
I remember I had one of my shitty jobs. I actually just mentioned it. I worked an overnight shift at a hospital, and sometimes I would do the days. And when I did days, my job was to go to a lot of the floors and get people to sign off on. It was like health insurance shit, but you had to like go into the room and talk to them. And every now and then I'd have the bariatric floor, which was everybody who had gastric bypass, gastric sleeve, stomach staple, all that shit. And they were like always the crankiest because the nurse had to get them like up out of the bed after the surgery to walk around. And they were always just like Pringles and shit all in the room, like just everything they were supposed to fucking have. And I'd be like, hey, I need you. And they're like, oh, can I do that later? I mean, it's the signature. What do you And so it would fuck like my job up because I'd have to come back the next day, like anytime, and I'd come back with like two signatures out of like 40. I'd be like, what the fuck are you dicking off? Like I probably should have been, you know.
But though, yeah, at that point, like
lots of these cranky assholes' rooms. It was terrible. That was a sad job, by the way. Some of the shit, there was they call it the NICU, NICU. It's like the neonatal infant care unit. I don't know. Maybe, uh-huh. But it was like babies. And there'd be some kids that were just like basically abandoned. There was this one kid, I forget what his name was. Wow. Every time you walk through, it's like, nobody's here for this kid. Like, no, it's so, like, it's sad as shit. There's like kids in hospitals, and like, there's literally the parents just left and just left them there.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Yeah. Cause I guess they're like under no obligation to visit them, but like,
yeah.
You think you wouldn't? You'd visit your like infant child? I don't know.
Yeah, awesome. They just leave them there forever.
I don't know. I mean, I literally left the job, and that I'm pretty sure that kid was still there.
Wow, what period of time was that? How long was he there for?
I don't remember. It was too long. Too long. Wow. Than many visitors for sure. It was depressing. Like the rest of that job sucked total dick, and it was fine. Whatever. Like it was. It was a job, but that part was terrible. It didn't. I say it sucked dick, but it was literally just like most of the time you just sat in the emergency room and somebody would come through the door and you'd be like, what's your name? What's wrong with you? And they'd like shake in their like bloody hand that you're like, look what I did. You're not a doctor at all.
Oh, that's crazy, man. Yeah. And then imagine going to school for all that and losing 6 years of a life of your life being in all that debt, and then you're like, all right, here's 50 grand, like have fun being in this depressing environment.
That's what terrified me, man. It's like I graduated and all the job prospects were like, what if we paid you $45,000 a year?
That's pretty good compared to I was expecting like 15 bucks an hour.
Dude, like 7 years of college, it should have taken me seven, it took me eight, but 7 years of college to get are you serious? Like, no, I couldn't do that. And then it's like, you know, I would have to be wearing real pants right now. Like,
Man. And then you got to go to this depressing job. You got to wake up super early. You got to get all fucking dressed up. You can't be yourself because you're in the corporate world and you got to fucking suck up to people and do all that bullshit. I don't know how people do it, man.
I say bad words way too often for that type of thing, honestly. I couldn't do it. Jason. So,
yes.
Guys who don't know Jason Coley, girls who don't know Jason Coley, his spouse, Chandler, also a competitive bodybuilder, And he told me this idea he had yesterday, which I thought was really fucking cool. And I'm going to pitch it to you guys so you think it's really fucking cool. So there's all these like YouTube couples out there that are like, I don't want to knock them, but they're usually just like generally like, you know, like the standard of people's like physical fitness is people's standards are pretty low. Or it's like, oh my God, that guy's ripped. You're talking about Brad Pitt and Fight Club. It's like, no, he's just real small. But there's all these like fitness couples. There's no like jacked fucking top tier competitive bodybuilding fitness couple that YouTubes and vlogs that I'm aware of. And so Jason and Chandler are doing a YouTube spot where I think it's like what a day in the life that you started filming today. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So what I filmed today, I don't know what Chandler filmed today. But what I started filming today is basically just like a day in the life. So like what I filmed today was like waking up. I have this like big digestion protocol, like digestive supplements and like regular supplements that I take and like things that I do in the morning. So I like kind of like showed that a little bit. I showed like my intro workout shake and like my meal. And then like I did a little bit of my workout, nothing super crazy. Just like kind of like laid out my workout and like what I do. I showed my mask that I wear to the gym that has fucking holes. That's like an airsoft mask. So I can breathe perfect. That literally does nothing to stop anything. And kind of the idea is that like, well, me and Chandler are both prepping for the USA's, which is December 11th through 13th. It's a national level show where you can turn professional in bodybuilding and when in her and figure. And we want to show our journey going to that. But then I also want to do, well, three different things. One, show our life as a couple. And then one, show my life separately. And then the third thing is show Chandler's life separately. So that way people get like a good perspective of everything. And then if it's a girl that doesn't really want to watch a big bodybuilder, dude, bodybuilder thing, they can watch Chandler and they can watch us, but they don't have to watch my shit. So it'll be like a good like mix of everything. And then because, like I said, we compete at a reasonably high level, I think it'll be very different niche wise than a lot of the little fit couples that are just doing bullshit. Like they either do like
it's a niche.
They just don't really compete. Yeah, it's like a bigger niche. So I think it'll be cool. And the thing that I think too is like a lot of the bigger bodybuilders don't show their spouses at all. Like I don't even know if they even have like a wife until they say something. So I think it'll be cool showing like the true day in the life, like with me and her, like living together, prepping together, like how this all works, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a little untapped. I mean, I'm sure somebody's gonna fucking DM me like always and be like, actually, Jack and Rashonda have done this for the last 6 years, but I don't care.
And I bet you I'm better than them. Me and Chandler are.
You guys are buddies. Cool. You both have potential to go pro. You're both really in the lifestyle. And like we were talking last night, there's a ton of things that you do on a daily basis that seem very mundane to you. But to whoever's watching you YouTube, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Guys, Jason has one fucking bowl. This man eats out of this
bowl. That's literally me.
Every single day. And his reason for it is the man eats like 7 times a day. So like, do you really spend a bunch of time doing shit ton of dishes, or are you going to just wash one out every time and that's...
Bro, not even that, too. Like, I break dishes. I swear to God, if I have, like, a fancy plate, it's like a ticking time bomb. Like, within a month, it's broken. Like, it's got a chip off it or something.
I shouldn't have called it a dish or a bowl. It's actually just a giant Tupperware.
it's glass, like, but it's thick glass. Like, I could literally drop it from, like, waist high onto concrete and it wouldn't shatter. Like it doesn't break. It's big enough to fit my meals. Like it's perfect. It's everything that I've ever wanted in a bowl.
See, literally like that is things that normal people would never think about. Cause like you adapted to that via necessity where you're eating all these meals, you're breaking shit, washing all the dishes. You're like, fuck this, there's a better way. And you're cutting the shortcut for them. Cause they're going to watch this stuff and be like, oh, you know, wow. Why am I not doing that? Like fucking air fryers and stuff. I remember I watched Wesley Visser's thing on air fryers, and like if I had thought about an air fryer before, I probably would have been like, I'll make french fries in it, I don't know, like what the fuck.
Yeah,
The dude makes every one of his meals in an air fryer. And because I watched it and him doing it, I would have never done that other, you know what I mean? Like, I would have never done that.
No, man, like, I have an air fryer and I would use, like, potatoes and, like, fries and stuff. But I realized you can cook fucking anything in an air fryer. It's an oven.
That boy makes stir fry in his.
It's an oven.
Yeah.
Stir fry, what the
fuck? He goes in. It's like, actually kind of amazing. I bought one right after I watched the YouTube video, and I was like, I got to get an air fryer. I bought one, and I started doing it. And then I lost it in the move. And now I'm air fryerless.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, air fryer is like, that's another thing every bodybuilder should have. There's no reason not having an air fryer. That's probably one of the most significant cooking tools you can have in your arsenal.
Don't buy those cheap bullshit ones either. Spend like 80, 90 bucks at least on it. And that's
The $100 one that we got is fucking perfect.
Yeah, there's one that circulates the shit while it's going to. I forget what company makes it, but it has a little sweeper. There's a video going on you guys will probably never see right now, but I'm doing a circular motion with my finger.
Circular motion.
But there's one, and it circulates the food as it cooks, and that one's the Mac Daddy air fryer of them all. Amazing. Jason, one last question.
Yes.
Coronavirus. So you coach bodybuilders. March happened. You were alive on the face of this planet when it happened. You had a whole job to do, and then it was more difficult. How did you survive?
So,
how did your business survive, rather?
I definitely saw the writing on the wall when everything started happening. So the first thing that really like made me realize like this is actually happening was they basically canceled the Arnold Classic.
I remember that.
To the point where they were like talking about canceling it, and then they had no audience, like nobody could go in. Like it became like a total shit show. And I was like, once that happened, I was like, oh dude, they're about to just absolutely shut down everything. Because when it first was going on, they were talking about shutting down like businesses and stuff. I was like, oh, that's bullshit. There's no way. I've never like in my entire life had that happen, let alone my parents' life or my grandparents' life. Like
I was also in denial about it.
Yeah. I was completely in denial. I was like, this is not happening. That's crazy. Like there's no way they can shut down this or that. They don't have that power, blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, here we are. But luckily, I saw the writing on the wall, and I was trying to think quickly, you know, what can I do to kind of, like, pad this down a bit? And then, obviously, I was thinking, because I'm competing, I need to have a place to be able to work out. So my first thing was, oh, I'll be able to work out at my gym. Like, they'll let me in, no problem. And I slowly realized that no gyms were letting people do that. Like, no matter what connections I had, no matter where I was like, even all the pros, like, nobody could get a gym. I was asking everybody, and I was like, dude, this is fucking nuts. They were going around checking. Like, the police were going around checking. Like, they were locking down places like that. So I got lucky, and I started going on OfferUp and Craigslist and, like, Facebook Marketplace, like, immediately, because I knew this was going to happen. And I dropped, like, $2,000, and luckily, we have a garage in San Diego, which most people don't. And I was able to buy some good equipment. Like, I bought, like, a cable machine, a leg extension, a rack, a bench, a barbell, some pretty heavy dumbbells up to, like, 75. And then I got, like, 110s and stuff. Like, a little curl bar. Just enough to kind of get by. And I was like, okay, like, I figured it would start getting slower with online training, because I was like, I'm going to have, if I had to do this, some of my clients can't afford to buy stuff, and they're not going to be able to have connections to a gym. So I'm like, they're not going to be able to train at all. So I'm just going to open this up and start training people in person all day, which I did, which was really good. And as coronavirus went on, and, you know, everyone, when the shutdown first happened, it was only supposed to be for like 2 weeks, they said. Like 2 weeks, slow the spread or whatever, and they're going to open back up. And that never happened. And I kept thinking like, okay, maybe they'll open this, maybe they'll open that. And it just kept going longer and longer. And by the time we were like a month in, I had so many clients that couldn't even train. I was like, okay, in order to save my business, like salvage things and make sure that I have clients by the time this is over, I'm going to stop charging people that can't work out.
I remember that. I called you.
Yeah.
I was like, Jason, no, this is going to be bad. Never going to come back.
I have too much of a heart.
Yeah. You know, you're a good dude, though. That's big. Guys, Jason literally told his clients, just because I think just because he thought it was going to be a few weeks, you know, he didn't think he'd be foregoing money for the rest of the year. That, hey, don't pay me if gyms reopen, not thinking that gyms would be reopening in like September or October. I called him as soon as he posted in his story, and I was like, Jason, I love you, but you gotta stop doing this.
It was. I thought about it for a bit, and I was like, me and Chandler are doing okay. We got plenty of money saved. You know, we're not gonna have any problems this year, even if we start making a little less money. So I paused a lot of people's stuff. In hindsight, I'm actually pretty glad I did, because now that gyms are starting to reopen all over, I'm starting to get all those clients back.
Yeah.
And
those people are going to leave you because you showed them compassion at a time where it was, you know, I had two where I was just, if you can't pay me, don't pay me. Like, I don't
care
that. I'm good. I'm good right now. I can weather this storm. It's not the end of the world. Yeah. If that's what it comes to, it's not a big deal. But, you know, those people, your guys that you did that for, they will never forget that. You're going to have long-term people that are like, you know what? When shit sucked, this guy did not drop for any reason.
Yeah, man. And I realized, too, like, a lot of the clients that I have, like, this is their life. And I have people that will stay with me no matter what happens. There could be a fucking nuclear warhead coming in a day, and they're going to be like, all right, coach, like, what can I do for my last meal before I die? You know what I mean? Like,
what should I hit last?
Type of clients.
I'm jacked in this casket. What should I do?
So that's definitely what helped. I definitely had some people drop off. But again, a lot of people, I mean, this month right now, like, is probably about to be like one of the best months ever, even pre-COVID. So, I mean, it definitely came back, and then it came, I'm starting to get those old clients. New clients are coming now too, because things have kind of settled. And luckily, Southern California especially started really, at least the gyms started really defying the orders at like around May or so. And gyms started opening, and I was driving like 45 minutes to go to this gym that was right up north to me. And I would just go in there every day, and that worked for me for a little bit. But it was pretty crazy. I've never had to deal with anything like that, especially like, I can't even imagine if I fucking like had a normal job. I mean, it was crazy.
I was stressed. I was like, I really didn't know March, you know, what the fuck was going to happen. I figured, you know, I always like the eternal poor person in me is always like, you know, I'm always like, can I stop working for a year and I'll be okay? Like, is that fine? Like, that's the eternal poor. And like, I don't have any bills on auto pay, man. Like, I'm still that way to this day. Like, I pay them all, because, you know, when you're broke, you're like, I can't put anything on auto pay because
you gotta look to see if you can afford it.
Yeah. I'm still that way.
I remember those days.
And so I've always been like, you know, I spend money on dumb shit, but it's like,
well, you can afford it now.
But I save way more than I spend, just because I'm like, I'm always terrified of this type of thing happening. So it happens.
Yeah. And it was weird. I mean, I'm very, very, you know, at the same time, I'm almost happy it happened, because this is about as bad as it gets. Like, literally, like, they closed down the place that you make money from. Like, you can't even go inside. Yeah. So, I mean, that's worse than a recession, I think, because at least in a recession, like, you can go in and, like, train people. People don't have the money for it. Yeah. This time, people don't have the money for it, and they can't even legally go into it. So, I'm like, it was nuts. So, I figure if our business can make it through something like this, we can make it through anything. And also, for me personally, on a personal note, it definitely helped me go, okay, you're spending too much money on dumb shit. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Like, let's carve up the little bullshit and save there and save here and not spend on like frivolous things that don't matter and focus on the bigger picture.
I know that feel.
So it was interesting. It was definitely an interesting.
Now everything back to normal mostly.
Oh yeah, I would say it's right back to normal, if not better. Yeah. Like I said, this month's on track to be the best month I've ever had.
A ton of people financially. Coronavirus, and they're like, hey, everything's normal. I'm fat. Please help. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's literally what I've had. Like, it's funny. This month, at least three or four people that have texted me that exact quote where they're like, hey, I got fat during the quarantine. Like, help me, please.
I love when people reach out. I think people are ashamed sometimes to do that. But I love when, like, old people come back, because it's just like, yeah, I'm so glad that you, like, liked working with me the first time. There's no shame in, like, you appreciate the shit that we're doing for you, and we'll do it again. It's not like,
exactly,
you leave and then just stay in perfect shit. You know what I mean? It's like, come back.
Yeah. Maybe. Exactly. No, I'm always for that too. And and you're right. The same thing. Like, it makes me feel good, because I'm like, oh, they liked it so much that they want to come back. You know?
Yeah. It's like, wow, I feel right.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, they liked your service. Like, you did a good job. You know. Yeah.
Jason, question. If so, we're wrapping up here. If somebody wants to follow you guys on YouTube, do you have a channel set up yet?
I don't know if we're going to use Chandler's old channel or if we're going to make a new one, so I'm not sure on that yet. We just started doing, like I said, we just started doing all the filming today, so we're probably going to set up the YouTube and everything like tonight. I'll definitely get back to you as soon as possible on that, and then I'll start posting when we're going to like drop the first video and stuff.
Awesome. What's your Instagram? Just say, spell it out just so they can
follow. My Instagram. So it's my first and last name with an underscore. It's JASEN_KOHLI.
Jason Coley. So whenever he gets that link for the YouTube thing, I'll pop it in the description for this guy. And if you follow my shit, you'll probably like following his shit, because we are more or less the same RuneScape playing Misk nerds.
It blows my mind. Like, I could have been you in another life.
I could have also been you. I can't see it because of the video on this, but we both got haircuts on the same, like, literally today.
We look pretty damn similar. Like, I got the receding hairline. You got the receding hairline. Yes. I just have facial hair.
Exactly. I cut all mine off today. I actually was going to fuck with you. So, Jason has this, like, villain goatee thing that he's doing. And I literally pulled up a picture of it because I had a screenshot, and I was like, I'm going to answer this call with the villain goatee and then shave it off later. But I fucked it up. Like, I tried, and I didn't have, like, enough.
I would have died. This funny guy decides to put my goatee face next to Mufasa from Lion King.
It's rough.
And sees the likelihood. I was like, all right. That could be the evil villain.
All right, guys. So, as a recap, at Jason, JASEN_Coley, KOHLI. They got a YouTube coming out. Jason's a good coach. If you don't like me, go to him. If you don't like me, go to him. What did I just say?
Him, go to me. Yeah.
Go somewhere. Go get coach for somebody. If you don't like either of us, contact us. We'll give you some recommendations of other coaches that we believe in and think do a good job. If you want to hire me or participate in my 12-week transformation contest, it is gubutraining.com, and fill out my intake form. That's starting in the next 2 weeks, which tomorrow is the 26th. So 2 weeks from then, I'm starting a 12-week transformation contest. $2,000 goes to the winner. It's a $500 entry. Anyway, guys, have a great rest of your day, and see you tomorrow.